so thankful to the Lord for the sweet, humble prayer that's been prayed and for the manifest Spirit of the Lord already in the service this morning. And thank the you for your love and for your hospitality. I've been treated like a king in the Hall's home, and appreciate their hospitality so much, and the wonderful lunch that Brother Gary provided yesterday, and just felt such warmth and love from each of you here, and so thankful to the Lord. Been a Mississippi boy, can feel at home in Georgia, in the house of the Lord, and what a blessing it is. And I do feel at home, and I thank you so much for that. Do ask an interest in your prayers, and we're very much never forget that if the Lord doesn't bless, then the preaching of the gospel will not take place. I'd ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 15 if you would like to follow along. Acts chapter 15 and verse 22. It said, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out in the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Water is something that we need very desperately. Most of our bodies are made up of water, and you can't go long without water. Recently, you may have seen in the news that Jackson, Mississippi had a water crisis because one of the main water plants went out. And we do not live actually in the city of Jackson. We live in a suburb to the north, so our home was not affected. But the federal courthouse I work in has been affected by the water issues. I'm reminded of a time when we had an ice storm in North Mississippi, and for about 3 weeks, our family did not have water. We didn't have electricity for a little longer than that, but I quickly learned you could do easier without electricity than you can without water. You have got to have water. There's been different estimates of what the population of the children of Israel may have been at this time, but you're probably talking about at least 1 million people that are in desperate need of water, and they've gone 3 days and found no water. It said, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. So they finally find some water. And can you imagine their excitement to try to get this water, only to find that the waters were bitter, and they could not drink of them. The name Marah literally means bitter. We have a lot of bitter things in this old world. The Lord God Almighty, God the Father and God the Son, both Creator, when they created this world, God created it good and very good. When Adam sinned, that's when bad things came into the world. That's when sin came in the world. When he transgressed the commandment of God and transgressed the commandment that God said, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And when Adam ate of that forbidden fruit, he died that day in a death and trespasses and sins. And every one that's been conceived in the world since that time was conceived dead in trespasses and sins. And death came into the world, and sickness and disease and sorrow and great bitterness. It's not the way the Lord created it, because of the sin of man. Bitterness is in the world. And we come to bitter waters. many times in our life. And here's the people of God, Israel, who so are yearning for something that they desperately need, and they finally find waters, but the waters of this land, the waters of this world are very, very bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, "What shall we drink?" The children of Israel murmured a lot. That word means to complain. It literally has the connotation of kind of a low voice. Have you ever been in a crowd of people and something happens folks don't like? And you hear, "Roar." And people usually do that in a low voice. Because deep down when we're murmuring, we know we ought not be murmuring. So we don't really shout it from the rooftop. We kind of say, "What's this guy? What's with this guy? This guy doesn't know what." We usually say it kind of quiet, don't we? You know, murmuring and complaining wasn't just a problem for the children of Israel in the wilderness. It's a problem for Mark Wolves. And it's a problem for us. And I'm going to tell you, it can be catching. I worked with a lady one time, and she's a good lady, but she was prone to murmur and complain about everything. And the longer I worked with her, I caught myself getting to be a very negative person. And I had to really talk to myself and say, "Look, you don't need to be that way." But it's in our human nature, our old depraved Adam nature, to murmur and complain. And the children of Israel began to murmur against Moses, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you, when things aren't going right, murmuring and complaining is not the answer. Crying to the Lord is the answer. And may we always do that, because I'll tell you, our Lord's bigger than any problem we have. He's bigger than any storm that may come against us. Our Lord is bigger than any Goliath or any enemy that may come against us. He's bigger and stronger and mightier than them all. He's the place to go. Sometimes men don't have an answer to our problems. Sometimes men have not the strength or the ability to help us. But I'll tell you, little child of God, we serve a Lord. We serve a God that's always able to have the answer to any problem we have. What a blessing it is. Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. In this, I think we have a sweet picture of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord Jesus Christ came into this old bitter world of sin and sorrow and death, and came in this old bitter world and died upon the cross of Calvary for all the elect family of God. And because of the finished work on that tree of the cross, the Lord Jesus made a lot of bitter waters sweet for God's children. You know, we see a sweet picture of this in Judges. I believe it's Judges chapter 14. And you know, Samson did a lot of wrong things in his life. But I'm going to tell you, there's a way that Samson's a picture of the Lord Jesus. The way he's a picture of the Lord Jesus, he was a mighty warrior. He was a mighty strong man. And in Judges, I believe it's chapter 14, goes down to Philistia, and the Bible says a great lion roared against him. Well, the devil in one place, in the Bible at least, is described as a lion. Peter would write, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil." He's not just the Lord's adversary, he's our adversary. And Peter would say, "Be sober, be vigilant, be looking all around." You know, that's a good thing for us to do, just in the world in which we live to be cognizant of our surroundings. Because you know the kind of folks criminals look for? Kind of folks that are not paying attention? Kind of folks that look like they're in another world? And they look and they say, that's an easy target right there. But I'm going to tell you, the devil's always on the prowl. He said, be sober, be vigilant, be looking all around, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the devil's compared to a roaring lion. And here's Samson's going down to the Philistines, and a young lion roars against him. But I'll tell you, that lion's no match for Samson. The Bible said he rent him like he would have rent a kid. And I'll tell you, the devil's no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the cross of Calvary, the Lord completely and totally defeated Satan there on that cross. He triumphed over him gloriously. He crushed the head of Satan there on the cross. We see a picture of that when Samson mightily defeats the lion. The Bible said he had no weapon in his hand. You know, the Lord Jesus didn't go to the cross of Calvary with a sword as a military warrior would have. But he went as the shepherd who's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And he freely laid it down. You know, out of the carcass of that lion, out of the token of the great battle that Samson won against that lion, you know what was in the carcass of that lion? Bees got in there, and there was a whole bunch of honey. And Samson goes back to the carcass of that lion, and he gets some of that honey. And he eats it, but he gave to his family, and he did eat. You know, out of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, and out of the great victory that he won, he brought forth great sweetness unto us. Out of the bitter waters, he brought forth sweetness to us. But in this, we see a sweet principle throughout the Word of God, where God is able, even in the most bitter experiences, to bring forth sweetness unto His people. We look even in the previous chapter where Moses and the children of Israel find themselves in a very desperate circumstance. God has brought them out of bondage and slavery in Egypt into freedom. And he brought them out with a great and a mighty hand. But now they've come out of Egypt. Pharaoh's heart is now hardened, and he's going to pursue with the mightiest of his military and the greatest army probably upon the face of the globe at that time, begins to advance and to chase against the children of Israel. The children of Israel are in a bad spot. Their backs against the Red Sea, and they were hemmed in by the land. And from a human perspective, they had no place to go. I'm going to tell you, that looked like a bitter day for the children of Israel. And here's Pharaoh. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. But all day, God in His presence caused that great pillar of cloud that had been leading the children of Israel to go behind them and protected them against the enemy. And Moses cries unto the Lord on that occasion. And in verse 13 of Exodus 14, Moses would say unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord talked about a deliverance He was going to give them that day, tonight. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm so thankful for the eternal deliverance that the Lord has given us. I'm so thankful that if we breathe our last breath today, we have the sweet assurance that because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, that we'll immediately be in heaven in a mode of glory, in a place that no words could ever describe. Heaven's so grand. Words can't describe it. When the Apostle Paul was caught up there, he said, I heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. There's no words in any language that could describe the greatness of heaven. That undefiled place. That incorruptible place. That we tried to preach on last night. No words could describe it. None of us are going to get to heaven and say it's just like I thought it was. It's going to be far grander than we could ever imagine. And I'm going to tell you, the greatest part of heaven is not what the streets are paved with, what the gates are made of, but I'll tell you, it's the glory of King Jesus that sits there, and we're made to bask in His eternal glory. And what a blessing that eternal deliverance the Lord has blessed us with is. And I rejoice in our eternal salvation. But I tell you, I also rejoice in the temporal salvation and the timely deliverances that the Lord blesses us with. Here the children of Israel are going to see a that day salvation. And Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, the children of Israel were hemmed in. There was nothing they could do at that moment. There was no way for them to make themselves a way. But I'll tell you, by the power of God Almighty, God was able to make a way. And God sent a strong wind that parted the waters of those Red Sea. And there was a wall on the right hand and a wall on the left. And God blessed His people to walk through on dry land. What a great victory that was. You know, there was a time for the folks to stand still. But then in verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. See, they were to stand still when there wasn't a way to go. But when God made a way, they were to go forward. Now I'm going to tell you, when God makes a way for us today in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to go forward. We're to keep pressing on in service to Him. We're to keep honoring Him and glorifying Him and doing the things that He's told us to do in His Word. We're to go forward. They go forth and God blesses the children of Israel to walk through there on dry ground. And in verse 27, said, and Moses and the Egyptians try to follow them, and they go into the waters of the Red Sea. And Moses stretched forth his hand in verse 27 of Exodus 14 over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. You know, sometimes we can have some dark nights in our life. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And the Lord blessed them with a great victory for those waters that had parted for God's little children. They came back over the Egyptians and they destroyed everyone. And those enemies of Israel that had plagued them and chastised them and beat them for so long as slaves in Egypt, God said, you'll see them no more. Your enemies are no more. And God gave them a great victory that day. In the next chapter, we see them singing a song of victory about the victory the Lord's blessed them with. We sing songs of victory every time we're in the house of the Lord. You know why we're able to sing songs of victory? Because God's given us the victory. Amen. You know, if an athletic sports team lose, they don't sing a song of victory at the end of the game because they didn't win. But I'll tell you, God has given us a victory, and we're able to sing songs of victory because of what the Lord has done for us. And I'll tell you, this day that started out is a day that looked very bitter. for the children of Israel turned into a day of great victory and a day of great rejoicing. We look in beginning in about Genesis 37 and we're introduced to a man named Joseph, a young man. He's a man that his father loved him more than all his children. He gave him a coat of many colors. And his brothers hated him because they saw the favoritism of their father. And it's a lesson for us as mamas and daddies to treat our children with the same unconditional love and make each one feel as loved as the other. We shouldn't play favorites. It caused trouble in this family. But there's Joseph's brothers that hated him so much, they wanted to kill him. They decided not to kill him and to sell him into slavery. And Joseph's life, from a human perspective, became very bitter. He was sold as a slave. But you know, even as a slave, the Lord blessed him. The Bible said the Lord prospered him as a slave. He was then falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, accused of something he did not do, and then he was made a prisoner. From a human perspective, his life would have come even more bitter. But you know, even as a prisoner, the Lord prospered him. He would wind up interpreting the dream of the king. And one day he'd go from the prison house to the palace with the king. He would be placed second in command of all of Egypt. He would be one with great ruling authority, so much that Pharaoh said, nobody's going to lift a finger in Egypt unless you say it's okay, Joseph. That's me paraphrasing. But he had a messed up family, didn't he? But you know, the only place in the world at that time that had any food was where Joseph was. And Joseph's family, the brothers that hated him, wind up coming to Joseph for the sustenance they needed. They didn't know who he was. But one day Joseph reveals himself unto them. Joseph's a strong picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're blessed to know who Jesus is today, not because some preacher told us. Some preacher could tell us about Jesus. But there's only one that can bless us to know Jesus in our heart. And that's God Himself. The Lord would tell Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee. Peter had just said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus would tell Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee. You don't know this, Peter, because some man told you. You know it because God Almighty revealed it to you. Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Amen. We're blessed to know who the Lord Jesus is because He's revealed Himself to us. And Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. And their brothers were troubled at his presence because they felt condemned. They knew what bad things. They knew they had wanted to kill him. They knew they had sold him into slavery, and they knew that they had tricked their daddy into believing for many, many years that his beloved son was dead when he was really alive. And they worried about that. Joseph shows great kindness unto him, but it's always in the back of their minds. He's just doing that because daddy's still alive. But when daddy's dead, he's going to get us. And then their father passes away. Verse 21 of Genesis 50, and I won't cover all the narrative for the sake of time. But Joseph tells his brothers this, now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. This had been a messed up family. It had been a family of great bitterness. Can you imagine your own brother wanting to kill you? But I'm going to tell you, out of this, because of the love and the grace of God, God brought this family back together. And Joseph, in a great example of forgiveness, the way we're to forgive, and in a great example of the way our Lord Jesus Christ forgave on the cross, when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He continued to show kindness unto his brethren for the rest of his life. Out of those very bitter experiences, God brought forth great sweetness unto that family. We go to the book of Esther. Well, let's go to Ruth first. We go to the book of Ruth. A man named Elimelech has taken his family. There's a famine in the land when the judges ruled, and he's taken his family to the land of Moab. And Moab's not kind to his family. They face a lot of bitterness in Moab. Elimelech dies. His son dies. His other son dies. And just Elimelech's wife, Naomi, and their two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, are left. You know, it's never a good idea to leave the land of Bethlehem, Judah.
Amen.
Bethlehem, Judah literally means the house of bread. Sometimes we as little children of God can maybe think that we can find something better out in the world than we can find in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, there's nothing out in the world that will fill a little child of God. I'm going to tell you, the world leaves us empty. I'm reminded of that even when I open up a bag of potato chips and I look at it, and there's air in the top half, and in the bottom half there's chips. That's the world. The world leaves us empty. You know, Hollywood has everything that the world will tell you need in order to be happy. They have money. They have material blessings. They have fame. They have wealth. But many of them are so unhappy, they try to find happiness in illegal drugs, because they can't find any peace. This world just doesn't feel. And certainly for a child of God, it does not fill us. But I'll tell you what we have in Bethlehem, Judah, in the house of bread, can fill us. The Lord's in the business of filling. The day of Pentecost, he filled all the house with his Holy Spirit. Not only did he fill all the house, he filled each person in the house. I'll tell you, the Lord that did that on the day of Pentecost is still doing that today. He's able to fill his house even today in 2022 in the state of Georgia. God Almighty can fill the house with his Holy Spirit. He can not only fill the house, he can fill each one of us individually, where we leave the house of God nourished and full. Moab's not been kind to Elimelech's family. Naomi hears some good news back in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, that God's visited his people and given them bread. Now I'm going to tell you, whenever the Lord comes to visit, it's a good day. When the Lord came to visit, the lame were made to walk. When the Lord came to visit, the blind were made to see. When the Lord came to visit, the lepers were cleansed. When the Lord came to visit, the dead were raised to life. When the Lord came to visit, he redeemed his people on the cross of Calvary. When the Lord came to visit, they heard the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. And they said, "We got to go back. We got to go back to Bethlehem, Judah." And I love that great scene as Orpah, she convinces Orpah to stay behind. But Ruth comes with Naomi. And I love that scene when they enter back into the city. And the Bible said that the city was moved about them. They said, "Is this not Naomi?" I was reminded when I first came to the Old Baptist Church. I didn't believe the doctrine. I didn't believe the practice. But I'll tell you, when I came amongst the old Baptists, and I came in the old Baptist church, I felt the love of the Lord's people, and the city moved about me. The city embraced me, and the city loved me. And that kept me coming back until I did believe the doctrine, and I did believe the practice. When any little wandering pilgrim of this world comes to be among us, may always be the city of Bethlehem, Judah, that moves about in love and compassion, and modeling the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Naomi says, Naomi's name actually meant pleasant. She just said, don't call me pleasant, but call me Mara. Call me bitter, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. Now I'm going to tell you, whenever we make a statement like that, we ain't thinking right. That's bad English, but it's good doctrine. We ain't thinking right when we make a statement like that. But you know, Naomi's mind's going to be changed. And Naomi's mind's going to be changed when they come into contact with the mighty man of wealth, a man named Boaz. Boaz is their kinsman redeemer. And Ruth begins to reap in Boaz's field. And Boaz blesses her with the abundance of his field. And he tells her, he said, you always keep your eyes on my field. You're going to find whatever you need in my field. He said, there'll be things for you to drink in my field. And the Bible even says he reached of his parts corn, of her parts corn, and she was literally fed from the hand of Boaz. Boaz is a strong picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He tells the reapers, he said, let her glean even among the sheaves, and rebuke her not. Where the bundles of the harvest was, he said, you let her glean there, and you don't rebuke her. You give her the bounty of my field. He said, and let fall some handfuls of purpose just for Ruth. You know, that's our same gracious Lord today. When we come to the house of God, He lets us glean of the bounty of His harvest. He says, let fall some handfuls of purpose for Mark Quarles, Brother Michael Hathaway, Brother Dan Hall, Brother Gary Hall, and you put your name in there. You ever come to the house of God? Well, you've been thinking about a song all week, and you get to the house of God, and that's the first song that's called out. You know what that is? The Lord reminding you how much He loves you individually, and how He is leaving some handfuls of purpose and have your name on them. They're just for you. One of the greatest blessings I've had in the ministry is when a little child of God comes up and say, that message that was preached today, it was just for me. And that's reminding me that the Lord continues to leave handfuls of purpose for His people. Moab had dealt very, very bitterly with this family. But I'll tell you, in the full field of Boaz, what had been very bitter turns into great sweetness. And Naomi would change her attitude when Ruth would come on with the bounty of Boaz's harvest. And she said, the Lord had not left off His kindness unto the living and the dead. She basically changed her tune, much like that song we sing, the Lord has been so good to me. I will on Him depend. And out of the very difficult circumstances that had happened in their life, the Lord in His grace and His love and His mercy, and through Boaz, showed forth great sweetness unto them. Boaz marries Ruth. He redeems Ruth. The great picture of what our Lord Jesus Christ did in redeeming us as His bride. And what a sweet, sweet picture that is.
He brought forth
great sweetness out of great bitterness. We come to the book of Esther. Esther's a poor little Jewish girl. But the Lord blesses her to be elevated to the queen of all the land. There's a wicked man in the kingdom whose name is Haman, who seeks the eradication of all the Jews. He's not going to be satisfied till he sees them wiped off the map. The king Ahasuerus does not know that his wife Esther is a Jew. Haman tricks King Ahasuerus into passing a decree that on a certain day of a certain month that all the Jewish people would be executed and killed. Mordecai is Ruth's adopted father. And Mordecai is in mourning. He's in great bitterness. He's in sackcloth. He's in ashes. Can you imagine if we discovered today that an edict had been passed that every single American in the face of the globe would be executed on a certain month and on a certain day? Think about that. And that's the position they're in. Mordecai's in great bitterness. He gets word to Esther about the decree that's been passed. And Esther knows the custom of the land that she cannot go into the king's presence unless he holds out the golden scepter to her. And she said, if he doesn't, I perish. And Mordecai says, the Lord's going to deliver his people. But who knows what you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And Esther gets her maidens together and they begin to fast and I believe pray unto the Lord. I believe they cried unto the Lord. And the Lord blesses Esther to have the great courage to go to the king. And when the king sees her, the Bible said, she found favor in his eyes and he held out the golden scepter unto her. Now if you imagine a king in his kingly robes and he's holding out that golden scepter, the arm comes out from under the robe. You know, the prophet Isaiah said the Lord's made bare his holy arm. And it uses that in the context of the Lord redeeming us from our iniquities. And said he made bare his holy arm. The Lord has held out his golden scepter. He's made bare his holy arm for us. Amen. And in that, we're a little bit a picture of Esther. And the king, there's a lot of details to this, but for sake of time, the king ultimately asked her, what's your request? And she said, give me my life. Give me the life of my people. She said, there's someone in your kingdom that wants to eradicate us. Just give me my life. He said, who is this wicked man? She said, it's Haman. Haman so hated the Jews and so hated Ruth's adopted father Mordecai that he had already made a gallows of many cubits high to hang Mordecai thereon. And the men of the king, after they saw the wrath of the king against Haman that wanted to destroy his own bride, his own wife. You see, King Ahasuerus wasn't going to let anybody mess with his bride. Now I'll tell you, we're blessed today to be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a strong husband who takes care of us and who loves us. King Ahasuerus said, I'm not putting up with this. They said, well, we've got a gallows up there that he made for Mordecai. King Ahasuerus said, hang Haman thereon. And the gallows he made for a Jewish man, Ruth's adopted father, now Haman's hung thereon. And Ahasuerus passes another decree You see, in their culture, because the king was viewed as a mini god, little g god, he couldn't make a mistake. So a king couldn't change his own decree, because then he'd be admitting he made a mistake. So he had to pass another decree. And the other decree was, is that on that day when all the Jewish people were to be annihilated, on that day, he gave the Jews authority to fight and to vanquish their enemies. So on that day that looked like the most bitter day there would have ever been for the Jews, a day when every single one of them would have been annihilated and killed, instead, when that day came, instead of being a day of mourning and a great day of sadness, it was a great day of victory. And God gave his people that day one of the greatest victories in the history of the Jewish nation from a timely standpoint, instead of a day of great mourning. A day that would have been great bitterness. God brought forth great sweetness unto them. See, a decree had been passed, and it was an unalterable decree. And another one had to be passed for the deliverance of the Jews. I love what it says at the beginning of Romans 8, when it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Aren't you thankful today that even now, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed for us on Calvary's tree, that even now at this moment, there is therefore now no condemnation. You know, I don't like feeling guilty. I don't like feeling condemned. I don't like it when a law enforcement officer has me pulled on the side of the road and those lights are blinking behind me and everybody's coming by and saying, yeah, he's gotten stopped. He's a lawbreaker. You know, I see those lights going and it's almost like condemnation, condemnation. I don't like that. But we have the sweet assurance that now, but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, we're not condemned. Right now, the Lord sees us as righteous and holy. Right now, it's because one sweet day, he made bare his holy arm and he eternally redeemed us on the cross of Calvary. It goes on to say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, listen, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm going to tell you, there was a law of sin and death that brought about our destruction, and because of what Adam did in transgressing the commandment of God, the law of sin and death went into effect. But praise God, our King, the Lord, passed another law. And it's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He made us free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Out of what could have been tremendous great bitterness, the Lord's brought forth great sweetness for us. You know, and it ought to make a difference every day that we live. You know, the fact that we know we're blessed to have the sweet hope, the confident and joyful expectation that heaven and immortal glory will be our home, it helps us to live different every day. See, we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to fear what man may do unto us or what anything else may do unto us, because we have the sweet assurance. When I breathe my last breath, when I'm absent from the body, I'll be present with the Lord. And I'll bask in his eternal glory forever and ever and ever. What a sweet, sweet Savior we have. I'm so thankful that though this world be very bitter, that the Lord has brought forth great sweetness unto us. May God richly bless you. It's my prayer.